Hey, hey, welcome back to Down and 30. I'm your host, Elizabeth. What is up, peeps? Happy Thursday. At the time we're recording this, it is Wednesday, which means you know my fave, Real Housewives of New Jersey, is on tonight. So I gotta tune in at 9. All right, queens, let me let you know. The audio is gonna be a little bit different this week. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I did not have time to set up the studio, get the mic, get the computer, get the whole shebang. I just did not have a second to spare. So I'm back at my house, which is under renovation right now. My computer and equipment are elsewhere. And I've got some laundry in. I've got a sunless tanner that's drying. So we had a couple of minutes, couple of hours to spare. So I just figured, you know what? Let's do the damn thing. Let's hop on the good ass iPhone X. Let's pop on the Anchor app and let's just do an episode. That's what I love about Anchor. I know I say it all the time and it's literally in my commercial. Anchor is bomb. I don't need anything other than just my phone and the app. Again, don't know what the quality is going to be like. This is our pilot episode of recording on Anchor. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, you know the drill. Check out Anchor. They've got everything. I did my little music. I'm going to do my recording. I'm going to do my editing, my uploading, all the whole thing. Publish the shit out of this. Let's go. Let's just have, we're just going to do a little quick ass, fun ass episode. I don't have a lot of time to spare. I frankly didn't have any time to prepare an episode, but I knew I wanted to put something out, and I'm on this big accountability kick. I'm failing at it. I keep trying to tell myself and motivate myself and get myself to work out. At my core, I'm not an athlete. I'm not a workout person. That's just not what gets me going. I got myself into a really great routine for a solid 3 years of kickboxing, which was amazing. The adrenaline was hype as shit. I was doing 5 to 7 days a week of kickboxing, just freaking burning calorie after calorie. I was ripped as shit. I never have looked like that before, and I never will again. 2018 me was built different, built the fuck different. But yeah, that was it. That was my big hurrah. That was my post breakup, find myself vibe. And, it was short lived because that's just who I am as a person. I don't necessarily prioritize working out, but I do then wonder why I'm not losing weight. It's just a toxic thing that I do. And I'm not really concerned in weight from a looks perspective necessarily, but some shit's getting tight over here. I had a stomach ache earlier and I was is my underwear too tight? it is what it is. So I've been trying to gear myself up to get in a workout routine. I was doing at home spin for a little while too. I don't mean to say this as an excuse, but literally I go to work and I leave the house for work 5 to 7 days a week still, depending on if I'm working the weekends, and I'm there all the live long day. And when I get home, I'm doing literal manual labor half the time. I just threw some spackle on some spots on the wall, just did some cleaning, prepped the walls for painting. We're in deep over here. So not to make an excuse, but I am still moving my body. I'm just not doing any sort of structured physical activity. So I would like to get back to something, whether it's kickboxing. I've also got a bag at home, the spin, or even just walking. I would really like to get back into that groove, look good, feel good, the vibes. All summer 2021, that is the vibeage. So again, can't quite keep myself accountable with that. So I figured, you know what? If I'm going to let my fat ass slip on the workout, I can't let my dumb ass slip on the podcast. So we're here. We're just going to chat it out. Quick little episode, fun and fresh. So yeah, let's just shimmy into it. I wanted to chat about accountability. Again, not great at it. Working on it. I know some people who are super stellar at holding themselves accountable. I am good at holding myself accountable in some ways. Like, I really mastered the art of being accountable with my finances. I got my bill paying game on frickin' fleek. We got the mortgage popping. We've got the budgeting popping. I've got my budgeting apps. I just use the Numbers app on iPhone. I know there's like other like special ones, but like I'm not that fancy of a bitch over here. So I just use the Numbers app. I use my online banking. I'm a freaking cash rewards, cashback, points, credit card ass bitch. So I have been really great at holding myself accountable with my finances. Do I still splurge? Yes. Do I still order takeout? Yes. Do I still get Dunkin' Donuts? Yes. Did I stop shopping at Goodwill? No. No, baby, I haven't. I haven't done that. It's just a good ass time and I like to do it, so you know the vibe. I'm trying to think of other ways I'm good at holding myself accountable. Not many. What about you guys? Are you good at holding yourself accountable? I'm going to post a poll on the Down and 30 Instagram. Answer it, leave me a comment, whatever the case may be. Let me know. Are you good at holding yourself accountable? Are you not good at it? Is it something you're even interested in? Do you strive for it? Do you not? Do you not give a fuck? Are you sitting here listening like, okay, bitch, we don't care. Like, you're lazy. Like, we don't need to talk about accountability. You're just lazy. Okay. You could be thinking that. That's your perspective. That's your right. And who am I to take it from you? But I've also been like going through this balance of like, yes, accountability is important. You know, I want to hold myself accountable. I want other people to hold themselves accountable, you know, in bigger situations, you know, with everything going on in the world right now, 100% I'm holding myself accountable. 100% I'm holding the people around me accountable. Like, there's just some things that are like non-negotiables for me. Anti-racism, that's my hill to die on. 100% my hill to die on. Disparities in healthcare, my hill to die on. 100% hold myself accountable. Different things like that. Definitely my hill to die on, and I will hold myself accountable, and I will keep anyone around me accountable for those same things. But yeah, I've been doing this balancing act between this focus on accountability, but then also like taking a step back, giving myself a little bit of grace, and realizing that like there are 24 hours in a day. And like, yeah, Beyonce can do a lot more in 24 hours than I can do. That she's Beyonce. But again, like the case may be for me right now in this headspace, in this physical body that I have right now, maybe I can only tolerate an 8-hour workday 5 days a week and continue to come home and, you know, manage these tasks and help my dad with renovations in my house and all this stuff. Like, maybe that is all I can handle. So I'm also trying to balance between like not giving myself so much shit for what normally I might consider slacking off, but right now I really genuinely have bigger fish to fry. You know, things here and there are opening up. I went out with my cousins on Friday night. We went to this outdoor restaurant and bar by my house. Like, you know, we're always there, you know, pre-COVID. That's, you know, it's like the spot. We're very comfortable there. The vibe, service was lovely. So I also want to continue to make time for myself. So I'm trying not to guilt myself into, you know, I've got X, Y, and Z to do. I can't possibly fit in, you know, doing this fun thing. Bitch, we spent the last year at home and for good reason. But if I can go out and do a little something fun safely, listen, 10 out of 10, I'm going to do it. So, you know, I'm trying to give myself some grace for that as well. I'm in this situation right now between work, and we just went through like a lot of, you know, different interviews and stuff. We have different, you know, positions and things like that we've been interviewing for, you know, staffing changes, this and that. And between that, between the regular workflow, between my renovations and all that stuff, like when I'm at work, I am constantly thinking, constantly making decisions. I'm the only person in my specific hospital that does the job that I do. So not only am I doing my specific job related to patient care, but I'm answering questions. I'm involved at higher level meetings. I'm, you know, the go-to person for if this equipment breaks down and my service needs to know about it, okay, I obviously need to be involved in that. I need to reach out to the patients that might be affected by something like that and, you know, let them know that we need to reschedule. I'm involved in palliative care and hospice meetings. I'm having these heavy end-of-life discussions with people, having discussions with people that, you know, something tragic like a stroke has happened and they are going to require alternative means of nutrition and extensive rehab and months of hard work, and they're not ready to return home safely, and like all these things all day long. And then I come home and I'm making other types of decisions. What fucking color am I painting my kitchen walls? What fucking hardware am I picking for my cabinets? Again, not the same in terms of weight of responsibility and decision-making capacity. But my point is, like, sometimes I just gotta turn it the fuck off. Like, I'm done with the decision-making. I'm done with the reflecting and all that. And, like, I just gotta fucking be. Like, I just gotta chill. I'm human. You know, I'm just trying to live life. You know what I mean? So I have been trying to be honest with myself and being like, yo, it's cool. It's 100% cool if you don't want to take on something else right now. It's 100% cool if you just need to sit down and chill. Freaking fine as hell if you just need like a day or a minute to yourself. Like, you don't always have to actively be doing something. I'm very much that. Like, I'm very much go, go, go. If there's work to be done, I'm going to do it. If there's something to be done, I'm going to do it. Like, I sometimes struggle with all of my time not being productive in some way. Again, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, and they are what is described as the most energetic. And I definitely resonate with that. A lot of 8s are athletic and things like that, and like thrill seekers. That's just not me, but I am very energetic in the sense that like I can do a million things in a day. And yeah, it'll make me exhausted, but like that's normalcy for me. That's just how I function. That's how I operate. So every once in a while, I have to, you know, give myself a little time to decompress, because then those ugly things start to set in. Like, again, the lack of working out, the lack of eating right, the exhaustion and fatigue set in, the temper starts to kick in. You know the vibe. I've mentioned it before. So I am trying to just kind of find that balance between holding myself accountable, yes, but also giving myself that grace to just be freaking human. You know, I think a lot of times when we focus on accountability, and not even when we're focused on accountability, but a lot of times we can get ourselves into this situation where we have this like shame effect, you know, when we're so used to holding ourselves to a perfect standard, so used to holding ourselves to a specific standard, so used to holding ourselves, you know, accountable for X, Y, and Z. When we sort of like slack off on that, we can have this shame effect. I have it. I get it. I'll leave another poll on the Down and 30 Instagram. Let me know if you have the shame effect. I mean, like, some people are just like, they can brush it off. They can like, you know, leave shit to the next day, and it affects them in no freaking way. It will affect me a little bit. Like, I'm the kind of person where I'm like, but if I can do it today, why am I not just doing it today? Why am I gonna fucking put it off? Like, very that. So I do think we can kind of spiral into this shame web. And I think that can manifest in a bunch of different situations. It definitely manifests for me at work. It's definitely been manifesting for me with the home renovations. Like, I'm constantly on HomeDepot.com. I'm constantly on Pinterest, Target, everything. I'm like, okay, I still have all these decisions to make. Like, you know, I can't sit here scrolling on Instagram and, you know, doing nothing. Like, let me go do this. And, you know, I kind of feel this like guilt and this shame if I let a day go by and I haven't done something productive or something that's going to contribute to the bigger picture or the project at hand. And that doesn't have to be the case. That doesn't have to be the case at all. I found out this about myself through a much different way. I actually found out about my shame tendencies the first time I went to therapy. I don't know if I've talked about this on here before, like in this way. But the first time I went to therapy, I was going because I was struggling with like self-esteem issues and a lot of what I later found out was shame related to having stayed in the wrong relationship for way too fucking long. I knew this person for like what is now, oh God, a lot longer than 10 years. And at this that point that all this kind of went down, I had known this person for like, you know, over 10 years or so. We had like dated a bunch of times. Things never worked out. It was so toxic. It was so ugly. It was so nasty. And just so much went wrong there. So much to unpack there. And I wasn't so much struggling with the breakup itself, but like, I kind of like got real with myself. Like, what was wrong with me? What was wrong with my thinking that I allowed myself and ruined myself to some capacity, for this person, for this relationship that was going nowhere, and was frankly bringing me down in so, so many ways. So when I went to therapy and I started talking about these things and my therapist is like, well, who have you talked to about this? And I'm like, I haven't. What do you think I'm here for? I don't talk about this shit. Like, I don't talk about this. I told maybe a couple of other people, and I just told them the other night that they were the first person I ever told. I admitted for the first time to my cousins, something is very wrong in my relationship and I don't know what to do. And that was probably like 4 or 5 months before the whole breakup happened. And that was, even having that conversation was so hard for me. Like, opening up is not my strong suit, or I should say it wasn't my strong suit. I still struggle with it a little bit, but you know, it's easy to talk to y'all. Y'all can't see me. You can just hear me. So, you know, the vibe. But yeah, my therapist is all like, well, you know, who else have you talked to about this? Like, who's in your circle? Who do you have to confide in, to be vulnerable with? And I was like, hon, that's what I'm paying you for. But she was like, oh, you don't open up, do you? And I was like, 100% no, never. 10 out of 10 would not recommend. And she was like, then she's like, okay, well, yeah, I know you're here for these issues, but let's unpack this. Why don't you open up? What is it about you that you won't be vulnerable? You won't ask someone for help. You won't do any of these things. And she put me on to Brené Brown for the first time, 2017. Never forget. Life has never been the same for me. And outside of therapy, what I loved about my therapist is outside of therapy, she would have me do additional work. And one of the first things she had me do was read Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. Life-changing, would recommend it, 100%, gotta do it. And it's then that I sort of realized, and I had never known it before, because I'm not a type A person. I'm not very organized. I'm not a rule follower. I'm definitely a rule, I won't say breaker, but a rule reformer. If there's a better way to do something, I'm gonna fucking find out how. Like, I'm very that. So I never thought that somehow deep down those things that I knew about myself were ruled by almost a level of perfectionism, but more so an inability and a discomfort with just like owning shame that came with being human. And I would carry around this shame and I would internalize it and I wouldn't talk to anybody about it. And I would just brush it under the rug. And I thought that's what we were all doing. But yeah, so that's when I first realized that a lot of my issues and things that were holding me back was this shame avoidance. And I think that that, again, manifests in so many ways. So I have done a lot of work on shame, a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of self-study, different things like that. I have read so many books. I recommend so many books to people, you know, whenever they come to me. Brené Brown, Gifts of Imperfection, you gotta do it. But the other night, when I asked her if it was okay if I shared this information on here, I was talking to my friend Kim, and, you know, we've known each other for a while, and she went through or is going through something similar to what I experienced. A little bit different, of course, every situation is unique, but this situation, this sort of toxic song and dance with this, the man who we won't, you know, we won't name, But she was going through this sort of toxic song and dance for years and years and years. You know, could never really commit to each other. It was, you know, sort of the same situation where, you know, each person could only go so far, but you're never really giving 100% of yourself. You're never really digging deep. You're never really making this connection, this, you know, commitment to each other. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with attachment style, but also, you know, that discomfort with vulnerability and shame, because with opening up yourself to someone and getting close to someone, you're opening yourself up to heartache, loss. And that, for a lot of people, including me, is very uncomfortable. Avoid at all costs. Like, I am very much avoid at all costs. Not doing it at all. So that's my toxic trait. So, you know, as Kim has been talking to me about this over, frankly, what has been months, you know, I told her, you know, I see a lot of myself and, my situation in you and what you're going through. And, you know, I want you to know you're not alone. You're not the first person, the first woman to experience this. There is a way out. You don't have to feel tied to this person. You know, a history does not necessarily buy someone a pass into your future. It just doesn't. I'm sorry, it doesn't. You know, there are plenty of people that I've had a lovely, lovely history with that our paths just grow apart, you know, whether it's some big blowout fight or, you know, just little things over time. Not everyone from your past, just because you have a history with them, has to make it to your future with you. They just don't. And, you know, I really wanted Kim to see the light, but, you know, again, it is not my job or my role as Kim's friend or anyone's friend to, you know, tell them the lessons that they need to learn. I don't need to teach them. Who am I to say that, you know, this is a lesson she needs to learn? Who knows? So, you know, I've just been, you know, supportive, giving her, you know, advice when she asks for it and that kind of thing. But the other night, you know, we had this sort of like breakthrough conversation, you know, where she was just kind of telling me like, you know, I'm done. I don't like feeling this way. You know, he's doing the shit that he does again. And I don't like it. I don't want to experience this anymore. And, you know, I'm kind of humiliated. I'm hurt. I'm embarrassed, you know, all this stuff. And I just said to her, like, if I had a freaking dime for every time I've been embarrassed by a man or embarrassed myself for, you know, doing something for a man or acting a certain way for a man, holy shit, hon, like, I would be rich as shit. And, you know, she was kind of saying, like, she felt dumb for, you know, even being in this situation and giving it so much energy and giving it chance after chance after chance. And, you know, the thing is, and the thing that I've learned to let myself fall back on is, okay, yes, I stayed in a situation for too long, but I was not fucking dumb. I knew the whole time. My red flags were up. I had the red flags. What do you think I was talking to my therapist for? What do you think I was talking to my friends for? Same with Kim. There's a reason you were talking to your friends or your family about it. Your red flags were up. Your red flags were activated. You're not dumb. It's not that you missed it. What you didn't do was you didn't honor your red flags. And we've all been there. And that to me was the biggest shame trigger. Like the fact that I knew in my own situation that something was wrong, something was really, really wrong. And I didn't know or couldn't figure out a way out of it to honor that. That's what really gave me shame. My role in life is like, I'm just very much a protector. I'm a protector of myself. I'm a protector of those around me. So for me to have sort of like realized that I failed myself in that way, that was a huge, huge shame trigger for me. And I know for Kim, being an Enneagram 3, which we'll talk about, one of the biggest motivators for her and all Enneagram 3 is the idea of being accepted and being well-liked, and also being the best. That's the underlying motivator. So, you know, when you have this situation where you're in this tangled web and you want so badly for things to work out and it's just not, well, of course you're going to take that personally.
And if you take it personally, then you're starting to put the blame on you. And that means that you're doing something wrong. And for someone like Kim, who, you know, sort of holds herself to this standard of acceptability and people liking her, well, that's a pretty big blow. But when you reframe that, when you take yourself out of that mindset, and when you tell yourself, it's not me, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, and you can kind of just like let yourself know that it's not that I'm dumb, and it's not that, you know, it's not that you don't know what to do, but it's just that, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and you kind of gotta like hit rock bottom to reach the power of realizing like this situation is not serving me. And it doesn't matter if this person doesn't like me back or want me back in the same way that I thought I did them, because this situation, this person is not serving me. And there is like, there's so much power in that. And we're just not always in the position to see that, you know, our motivations may be elsewhere. You know, our rose colored glasses might be on, you know, but the takeaway there, and this is where Kim and I like really had this breakthrough, was regardless of how toxic a situation was, and this could be anything, but I'm going to speak right now to a romantic relationship, but regardless of how toxic a situation was, you know, you can jump through hoops, you can go through hell, you can drag yourself through the like most horrible ends of the earth for somebody who didn't deserve it. But what you can teach yourself and what you can take from that situation is that you now know that you can be a good romantic partner. You can be good in a romantic relationship. You can love deeply. You can be healthy in a relationship. You can pull through and show up for the other person. You know that you can do that. So now you know that you can go and be healthy for you and for whatever other situation or relationship you want to put yourself in. And, you know, there's so much freedom and, you know, growth that comes with acknowledging, like, I can be vulnerable and put myself in harm's way for the sake of this relationship. But that works when it's reciprocated. It works when it's with the right person. It works when that other person is willing to do the same thing. Because that's what happens when you, you know, you get into a relationship or go to a new job or anything like that. Like, you're making a gamble. You're putting all you have into a situation and you're hoping that the other person or party is going to do the same for you. And I think knowing that, you know, regardless of how toxic of a situation you were in, knowing that you have the capability moving forward to show up as your best self for someone who deserves it, I think that just sets you up in such a good way for future relationships or whatever the situation may be. And I love that. And, you know, I think that really resonated with Kim. She let me know that she appreciated that feedback. And it's not up to me to, you know, learn these lessons for anybody, but I think that Kim was sort of coming to that realization. And sometimes you just, like I said, you got to hit rock bottom. And, you know, Kim started the conversation like, can you make me not feel dumb? Well, like straight up, like you're not dumb. There's nothing dumb about anyone that goes through any of those situations. It can feel dumb, but what you're feeling is shame. You're feeling regret. You're feeling like you didn't honor your own boundaries. You didn't listen to your own red flags that, you know, were setting off in your head. And I definitely relate to that. And it's not a good feeling. But that what you're feeling is not being dumb. What you're feeling is, I knew better. And for whatever reason, I didn't listen to myself. You know it. You know all the right information, but you didn't listen to yourself. And that's where this idea of, yes, next time you want to hold yourself accountable, you want to honor your red flags, but give yourself a little bit of grace. You're human. We have all stayed in a relationship or a situation or a job or a friendship for far too long, much longer than it was even serving us. I used to do that with friends too. Like I would bend over backwards and just give and give and give into these friendships. And I would pour into these people and their well-being. And then I just realized like I was being drained. And, you know, those types of friendships would always usually end up in this like big blow up fight. And, you know, what I would realize was I knew it was coming. You know, there was things in those situations or relationships or friendships that were making me unhappy, and I wasn't doing the right thing for myself in those situations. And so what ended up happening, you know, all these negative feelings, all the shame would build up, and, you know, it would just manifest, and, you know, it would explode. And for me, sometimes that's, you know, an argument or something like that. For someone else, it might look a little different. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of power and growth in, you know, kind of saying like, okay, this is how I reacted or didn't react in this situation. I kind of wish I did things differently. I know better now. That's literally all that life is just going through scenarios and sometimes having to acknowledge, I know better now. Everything we do is a learning experience. I know better now. So that's my big takeaway. I'm not going to harp on it much longer. I really did not even intend this episode to be this long. I really just kind of wanted to, you know, chime in a little bit on this balance between accountability and giving yourself some grace. But, you know, then Kim and I had that conversation and I was just kind of thinking like, you know what, like if anyone can benefit from this, which is the reason I started this freaking podcast in the first place, like I've been through some shit. Everyone I've had on here has been through some shit. You've all been through some shit out there. And sometimes it's really, really humbling to know, you know, it's not just you. There's so many situations I think a lot of us just think like, oh my God, I thought it was just me. It's never just you. It is never just you. Like, there's a reason, like, there's like things that are considered like universally embarrassing, like toilet paper on your shoe. Because that happens to so many freaking people. Like, that's funny. Like, I don't get embarrassed per se. I just not an emotion that I feel. But like, there's a reason there are those like little things that like we kind of all know about. It's because they've happened before to many people, to us. We've felt it. And it's a universal human experience. We have these things that we're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to me. But my point is, it's never just you. Give yourself a little bit of grace, cut yourself a little bit of slack, and just know that you can always do better next time, you know? So anyways, that's it. Let's wrap this one up. Next episode, we are going to have our first guest of season 2 on the pod. We are going to have a little fun, you know, sip a little something. Oh, I didn't tell you what I popped tonight. I popped beige, excuse me. I'm doing the thing where I'm like mixing up words. Babe Grigio with bubbles. Yeah, so that's what we popped tonight. It's a little bit of sparkling white wine. Yeah, so that's what we popped. But next week, with the guest, we'll pop a little something, we'll sip a little something, we'll get down in 30, we'll do the damn thing. It's just gonna be a real fun vibe. We have a fun, cute, little fun ass episode planned. So, you know, meet me back here next week, next Thursday. We'll have our first guest on. Until then, keep it fun, keep it fresh, keep it funky, and I will chat with y'all next time when it is time to get down in 30.